Why do we have that?
Today's daf is daf tzaddik, and we're holding right after the Mishnah on Amud Beis.
After
Gemara, which follows the Mishnah. Okay, so the Mishnah said that the shir of hotzaat etzim is gedela vashel beit sakala. Asks the Gemara, tanina farazimna. We already know the shir of fuel because we had before in the case when someone was taking out reed. Kona was kidei lasot kulmutz. So if it was essentially usable as an instrument, so then it was the shear of a reed that could be used to make a pen with. But imaya av omirusas, it was too thick for that purpose, or it was cracked, then it's a fuel. And what's the shear of it? Kidei lavashel beitza kalasha beveitzim tufau netuna beilfes, as we learned before. We came to understand that that's talking about Beitzah Kalah means Beitzah Tarnagolim, and it should be in a matzav in which it's easy to fry in a frying pan. In any event, the Mishnah's not adding anything. Ah, says the Gemara, it is indeed, because, you see, Ma'od etema hatamu delo chazil amide. Kone cannot be used for anything else, instrument-wise, it's too soft. Aval etzim to chazul akakada klida. Masha'in cane, when you have wood, you might think that a primary purpose of wood would be to form the key, the teeth of a key. That's what they used to do in order to have unique keys. They would have sort of a sliding device where you could put in different size metal or wood pieces, and that would create a unique key. So wood, the central piece of wood is, a hard piece of wood, is to make one tooth on a key, and that should be a much smaller shear. The chiddush of the Mishnah is that nonetheless, the primary use of the wood would be in this case for fuel and not for instruments. Tavlin, continued the Mishnah, kedelo tabel beitzakala ramidu. So the Mishnah came and said that different tavlin are mitztarfim zeimzev, which is a little bit strange because I mean, a little bit of one and a little bit of another are not going to help you. You won't taste either. So what's the point? If the whole idea of tavlin is that it gives a taste. So we ask indeed on this from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, tavlin shnayim v'sholay shemais mimin echad. If you have different tavlin, and these tavlin all are one species, but they're different shemais. Now, Rashi learns different shemos means they're basically sort of subspecies. You could have pilpul aroch, pilpul lavan, pilpul shachor, but they're all basically one thing. They're just called different things. Tosfos says the din of hitztarfus, the use of the word shame, and the din of hitztarfus is always a function of iser, not species. And we say lo min hashem huze. That's not the iser that we're talking about. The mishnayim v'sholoy shemos we had before. And we must have different categories. Okay, but I mean, that's really, none of that's important to our sugya very much. O mishlosha meaning asurin, o mitztarfim zeimzev, gabi avodazora, or the gabi orla. But meanwhile, you do see that Chizkiah explains that when it says that there's a tziruf of tavlin, he means only b'mine mitikashon, hover uyin lamateke deirah. It has to be that they're all a particular type. Not to say they all give a certain sense of sweetness to the Gedera, together with other tastes. So at least in aggregate, you will be able to note the time because all together the thing is memutak. But certainly you can't add a little bit of tavlin that I'm not going to be margish and a little bit of another tavlin that I'm not going to be margish and say that it would be mitzuraf. It doesn't make any sense. So you see, says the Gemara Taima, the Chosel Mateke Takadera, that the whole point, I mean, even there, it's only, thank you so much, it's only where it's Rory for Mitikut, but Alava Chilo, if not for that, you can't be Mistav just because it's called a Tavlin. And says the Gemara, of course, our Mishnah also. I mean, look, the Mishnah over there didn't say what Chizkiah said. I mean, Chizkiah was Mufarish. Same thing is true of our Mishnah. We take for granted that Hachanami Chazul Matek, what it's referring to over here,
is where there's some basis for the tziruf, so that it should be choshev in the shir of mituk. Klipei gozim, klipei rimonim, satis, vafua, kidei litzboa beged katan. So we defined what is a beged katan. A beged katan, said the Mishnah, was a piece vacha. The piece vacha was the solid piece that runs down the center of the hair net. Now that's, I mean, it's not very large, but it's certainly larger than the case that we had before, which was hamotzi samanim shruyim. If you have already made dye stuff. Here we're talking, of course, the raw materials that you're going to have to put in now and soak and boil. There the Mishnah was talking about dye stuffs that have already been soaked, so you now have a little bit of liquid in a bottle. Normally remember that the final use of the product is the shear that defines all the way back whatever raw things you're going to need in order to have that use. So you would assume that whatever the ultimate use is of the samanim would be the use of the ingredients for the samanim, because that's been the rule all along. And yet, it says over there that if you have the samanim shruyim in a bottle already, then the shir would be kedei litzboa behem dugma liira. That would be enough samanim, which is tiny, enough to make a small piece of a sample. A sample is the size of an ira. A ira is like a little piece of squished up material that you put inside of the shuttle to prevent the thread from unraveling when it's thrown. But that's nowhere near the size of a piece of vacha. I mean, maybe it's 20th the size of a piece of vacha. So why is the Mishnah here saying such a large shear? Of course, we've already had this gemara before. We know what the answer is. Even though normally the final use defines what the shear is all the way up, but not when something gets in the way. In this case, the tircha element is important. Nobody is going to actually create a dye stuff in which he's creating only enough to dye a sample. So Bishlam, if you already have the dye, it's certainly choshev to take it out with the shear of a sample. But if you only have the raw material, you're not going to use it for anything less than a piece of vacha. So there, our rule doesn't hold. Meirag Laim, we spoke about urine for cleaning purposes or for removing stains. Meirag Laim, Ad, probably the correct girsa is Ad Arbayim Yom. That's how Tosfos has the girsa. He says that the way to understand is we're talking about, remember we had back in Nida, where we asked, because Ben is Mashba, a child who is 40 days old. And over there, the Gemara Nida, as Tosfos points out, asks, are you talking about urine of a cotton, of a gadol? It can't mean a child of 40, because this is a quote from the Gemara in the Ksami. So that doesn't make sense. And if it said, Ben Arbayim Yom, instead of Ad, or Mi Arbayim Yom, which is others have the Girsa, then it runs against the Gemara need also. The Gemara says if he moves his Shloshi Yom, it only needs to be sitting around 3 days in order to become ammonia, enough ammonia to be able to use as a cleansing material. Three. So therefore, Tosfos says it means until 40. In other words, from 3 that we know there until 40 that we know here. And that's the extent at which it's usable. Beyond that, it already decays further and is no longer valuable for cleaning. Meter, and we know meter is found in different types of clay. So the Gemara, again, this has been a geksami. Tana neter alexandrit velo neter antipatrit. So depending where that neter is from, is where it's useful for tamim.
What is neter?
Natron. It's probably some type of what we would call today a nitrite. And it's mixed with, you know, various dirts and other chemicals. So they weren't able to actually purify it, so they would use the clay itself. So that which came from Antipater, or that which came from Alexandria had different characteristics. It was mixed with other things. Borit, Omer Rav Yehuda, Zechol. Borid refers to sand, basically, which is used simply for its abrasive effect on the sand component of Ajax. Of course, Tostos points out, sand, we had a different shear before. And sand, we said, was enough to put on a trowel of seed. And he explains, obviously, there's different types of sand. There's thicker sand, there's coarse sand, which you would use for spachtel and so on. And then there's this that they had that was a cleaning sand.
Sea sand.
Yeah.
Is what?
Sand. Silicon, but I agree.
Thick or thin?
It depends. You can have silicon that's been crushed more and crushed less. So Amar Yehuda Zechol, I brought Tanya the price of lists borit separately from chol, haborit vachol, elamai borit kavrita. We've had this problem before in Rashi, where Rashi learns kavrita means sulfur, which seems to be a little bit silly to start asking a kash from a Mishnah on why there's a fear of shvius and not shvius on sulfur, and which is why others learn that it can't possibly be referring to sulfur, it's referring to a plant in which the roots are not mitkayem. You use the roots for this, that's an ingredient. It was also called borit, and different things that cleaned apparently were called borit. So they had various plants at different times in history, all of which were called sabons in other languages, which are brought by the Rishonim. And that's what it's a reference to. So I've asked the Gemara if it's kavrita, meisvei asifa lema achalvitzin valiyunin v'haborit ve'aha. But over here it's talking about various things that you're chayim on shviyasan, and it's including borit. And if borit is what you just said, that it means kavrita, how could kavrita be chayim on shmita? Now, obviously the question's a great question if borit is sulfur, but I don't need to bring a raya from a Mishnah, do I? I mean, that sulfur is not chayim and shvius. But it's not zakal, koshi yesh lo ikar, yesh lo shvius, shein lo ikar, ein lo shvius. I mean, the problem with sulfur is whether it has roots that are miskayim in the ground or not. So that therefore, other Rishonim argue on Rashi. And lamai borit ahala, which is a type of plant. Tanya v'haborit v'ahala, and shrekavni ahala, okay, different type of aloes. One is called borit because it's more useful for cleaning. Kimulia, Amar Rav Yehuda, everybody knows what that is, that's shlovdot. Rashi says, I don't know what the heck that is, but that's its name anyway. Do they attempt to translate any of these things?
No,
shlovdot. Shlovdots, by the way, the shlovdots obviously refers to some type of plant that can be removed and reinserted. Shlovdots, shlovdots, we'll take it out, put it back in. So it was a these kind of plants that we talked about earlier, you know, they're detached, but you keep them in the ground, and they are able to maintain their freshness.
Wandering Jew, okay.
Well, can you do that with a wandering Jew?
I thought that's it.
Oh, is that one? I don't know. I thought just because it spreads. Ashlag, Amar Shlosh Altina L'chol Mechute Yama. I asked all of the people that, you know, the jet setters, they usually know what things are. The Amar Ali Shunana Shme, this stuff is called Shunana. Mishtaker Benutvet Marganita, you can find it inside of oysters. Umakeli Baram to the Parzla, you take it out with a sharp prong, and you can remove this from inside. It's deposited on the inside of the oyster, and it's useful for
the shell.
We seem to have moved on in our society to other types of cleansers.
Is there also the mention of quantity? Until now, we had also made a lime. I mentioned the quality of it, but not the quantity. So what do I mean?
Well, we said how much of the Mishnah. Here we're just trying to figure out the ingredients. The Mishnah gives the quantity. It's kedei l'chavis beged katan, or kedei l'avir ala ketan.
These are not
the same heading. They're the explanation of what the words are in the Mishnah. What is ashlag? We know how much, but we don't know what it is.
The quantity is for a small beggar.
Enough to wash a small beggar.
The Heilige Mishnah.
Pilpelech kosher, I guess a peppercorn. Itron kosher. The Gemara is going to explain what uses a little bit of pitch. Mine bisamin, mine matachot kosher. Also, the Gemara is going to ask what good is a little tiny piece of metal. Me'avnei mizbeach, u'me'afar mizbeach. Mekek svarim. Mekek svarim is these svarim that have been eaten up by bookworms. Now what's left is called mekek.
And just
mekek. He hasn't eaten very much, I see that. Mekek mitpechotehem, or the mekek of the mitpechot asvarim. Now these things, since you need to be mitapel in them for geniza and so on, so they become kosher. So it's not wrong. So therefore, that chashivas or kosher, I mean, however much it is, you have to take care of it. The reason is shematzinot anagunza, because since you're not going to stamp throw these things out, so therefore you have no choice but to be much of it. As every housewife knows, when they have a pile of geniza papers and have no idea what to do with it. Rabbi Yudaimer? Same thing. Yeah. All of these things you need to be metapel. Rabbi Yudaimer, Akabat Yimisham Shabbat is Arakoshu. It's not only something that you need to be mechabed. I mean, anything that you have a focus on its being kosher, to be kosher because it's aser. This is the Lo Yidbak Biyotcha Ve'umah Menacher. You're not allowed to have any of it. So, mainly you're going to want to make sure that you destroy it. So, that also gives it a chashivut by definition. Pilpelet kosher, what exactly is a peppercorn good for? My chazia, l'reach ha-peh. Keep it in your mouth, which gives your mouth a good smell. Itron kosher, what do you use itron for? My chazia, l'tzilchat, that's good for migraines. If anybody ever tried this, I don't know whether it means to ingest it, or to put it on your head, or which side of the head, or to smell it, but whatever, it's good for migraines. Mine b'samim kosher, tanarabonim. Hamotzi reach ra, you take out something that is used for its bad smell, such as camphor, menthol. That's things which a sick person might use. Use it to scare away the evil spirits that are stuffing up his nose and so on. So those type of things.
Smell itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So also kosher. This is a good for refuah. Shemen tov. Also kosher. All these things can be used for a cold or for a wound or any little bit. Argaman, kosher, even though this is usually used for dying, but Rashi says it's good for smell as well. Uptulata vered, which is a rosebud. Achas, that means one row of the leaves of the rose. Mine matachot, kosher, namaychaz, what do you use a little bit of metal for? The darbein was the little pricking device that stuck out of the side of the animal's halter, so that if it tried to turn to one side or another, it would get poked, and that kept it going straight, and that way it would stick to the line that you set it on, and the furrow would come out straight without you having to correct all the time. So it doesn't take much to make a little tiny sharp edge. So in other words, even a broken piece of a paperclip could also be used as a darbein. So in those times it had chashivas. And we know there's many clerks who spend most of their days collecting paperclips. You know, throw it off here, this. I mean, you want to throw out a paperclip at the end of the week, it could cost you maybe 3 shekel. So we spend our, 40 shekel an hour paying them to collect paperclips. So here too, you see, it's a fresh of an emission. This is Marames to the modern office society. Tanarabon. Ha'omer ha're alai barzel. How does somebody dedicate barzel to the Beit HaMikdash? So ha'cheirim omrim lo yivchot mi'ama al ama. The Baimer Be'acherim is that the shear of metal for the Beit HaMikdash, that has chashivas, is a piece of, it's not metal, but specifically iron, a piece one by one amas. What was that used for in the Beit HaMikdash? Rav Yosef HaKal Ya'orev. These were the tiles that they used to chase away the crows. so that by making a roof that had these sharp-edged tiles coming up, the crows had nowhere to land. It was not pleasant having crows on the roof of the Beit HaMikdash. And so this was basically a scarecrow.
Spikes that came up.
They were like spikes. Sharp, well, I mean, they weren't shaped like a needle, but they were sharp-edged tiles. So where was it going to stand on? The Ikiri Amri.
Metal? Metal
tiles. Ikiri, it's interesting, I was having a problem with the swing on the porch that the crows would settle on. And the guy who works at my house has all the paintings, and I say, it's tremendous book, you know, all kinds of wild things. You know, so I'm trying to figure out all types of things. I said, what can we do? We should put up one of those semi-transparent pieces over the roof. But anyways, this is no problem. All you have to do is you take pieces of silver foil, and you put it on, and they don't land. It's not true. They don't land because it's unpleasant, but they don't land because they get confused because of the reflections of it. But anyway, it seems they don't come near it.
Oh, it's like radar.
So this is maybe the union of the coyote, I was thinking. It's unbelievable. Everybody thinks it's stone because it's sharp. And here you use silver foil. Certainly silver foil is not sharp. It's not interesting. So you never know. So that's the coyote. Nechoshes. How about if you donate nechoshes to the Beit HaMikdash? Lo yuchod mi ma'ar kesef. You're talking about value.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ikiri amre. Others say it in a different lashon. Acherim am lo yuchod b'kal yorev. And in this version, the Acherim didn't say am al am, and Rabbi Yosef explained kal yorev, but the Acherim said kal yorev, and Rabbi Yosef explained that means one of the am al am tiles for the kal yorev. Nechoshes lo yuchod mi ma'ar kesef. Tanya Reb Eliezer Omer Lo Yifchot Mitzinura Kitana Shel Nefoshet. It has to be a small poker of Nefoshet. What would I use that for? My Chazia Omer Abaye Shemechatatim Bat Aptilot Mekantchid Aneirot. You use that to pull out the Ptilot and to clean out the Neiros. You poke around and make sure you get out all the dirt from the Neiros. So it's a useful clean for the Beit HaMikdash. Mekek svarim, mekek mitpechot. So these are all what's left after the larvae of what these worms have eaten through the sefer or the mitpachat sefer. Omer Reb Yehuda, each one of these larvae had different names at the time. The svarim was called mekek. The larvae that would eat through silk was called tachach. Grapes were affected by Ela. Te'enim were affected by Pa. Rimonim were affected by Ha. In any event, Kulhu, eating any of this stuff, is a sakona. Because these things can also damage you.
Is it not a worm?
Well, what they call worms are really larvae. No, they're larvae. It's like the moth. It's the way they're... lay their eggs, and the part that eats the part that eats through the wool is not the adult moth, it's the larvae of the moth. Right? So kulu sakanta, all of these things are dangerous to ingest. As a matter of fact, the Hu Talmida, there was this guy in the Shir, he has a commander of Yochanan, he was sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and he was eating te'inim, avigachal te'inim. Omarei Rebbe kotzim yesh b'teinim. There seems to be thorns in the te'inim, which was actually it happened. He had ingested some of these things, and they had started eating through his throat, and he was feeling them as thorns. Omar, so Rabbi Yochanan said, "Uh-oh, katle paladein. This guy's a dead duck. The pa's got him." That's what happens when you eat in the shir. Hamotzi kupat haruchlim apa pishesh b'minim harbei eino chayav elachatat echad. So if you carry out an Avon sampler case, it's called kupat haruchlim. So even though you've got all kinds of different samples in there, there may be, 20 different kinds of perfumes, toilet water, skin, skin cleansers and God knows what else. So you might think you'd be, I don't know, what would you think? You might think, Tosfos brings a Yerushalmi that says it, Aliba, the Rebbe Eliezer, we saw it before, it depends on which cholent. But a cholent is Bechalik. So you might think the lamb and all these things are basically the same, but you might think that the label is Bechalik. So it's a different type of thing, maybe it's a separate Hotzah. But I mean, Tosfos points out that if even if you're Motzi, and you're Motzi again, I mean, it's all Kulam Ba'al and Akad, I mean, what's the finish before? Tosfos says maybe the pshat is that he took out the whole Avon kit, and then he found out that he had carried out, let's say, perfume. So he goes and he brings a carbon chat. Then he finds out that he had carried out also skin cleansers. It was in the same bag. So you might think the part that was Nidalo only on that part. So maybe it was Bechakro only in that part, but each thing is Eimed Bifle Atzma. Gamashma that it's all Chodoritza. Zeronegina. Now, even though normally when you take out things that are edible for you, for animals, whatever, the shear is the shear of the grogeret usually. But when it comes to zeronim, it's pachot mi grogeret. Because over here, it's not omed for achila. It's omed for planting. You don't need a grogeret of seeds for planting. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says, if you have five, but you saw not ruga, you can plant five different zra'im. Okay, so if you have zeronegina, even five. Furthermore, if you're taking out seeds of species that grow very large, you're going to take out pumpkin or squash, and so you don't need to grow an awful lot of pumpkin to be yotzi or chiyuv and aloim. So you would just take out two, let's say. So you would have zera kishuim shnayim, zera diluim shnayim, zera pola mitzvah shnayim. We already saw before that these are called the large minim, where we had the extra problem of the sharaka, which the overgrowth mixes back in Kilayim. So over here, one is enough. Taking out a live locust that's edible, kosher. So any little bit would be enough because these are a lot of fun to play with. Mate.
So kosher, you say echad.
Yeah, it usually says echad. You're right.
Peace wouldn't help you very much.
Right. There's no shear. Yeah, well, it has to be alive, so obviously it can't be a peace. That's a good point, I think, what the chat is. Mate, Kigo Garrett. Tzipora takramim, because then it becomes like food. In other words, there's a particular use for a chag of chai. Tzipora takramim.
What's the use? We'll see. Turn into a mess.
No, you can't have a traveling chagaf circus if they're dead, can you?
Jumping grasshoppers.
Yeah, that's what they're good for. Shloimeh's traveling chagaf circus. Seriously, that's what the Gemara says.
It's not on the show.
As a matter of fact, the Gemara points out if he dies, Shlomi is going to make a hesped. Tziporet HaKramim, which is a particular type of chagav, has a different use. And over there, it's choshev even if it's dead. Ben chaya ben mesa, the shiris kosher. We'll see what that special use is. Shematznino tel refuah. It's used for making people well. Stupid people, smart. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afa motzi chagav chai tamei kosheru. Even if it's tamei, if it's alive, the smallest shear is okay. Because what's the nafkamina, whether it's edible or not? What do you mean? Shloimeh only uses kosher chagovim in his circus. Why can't he use treif chagovim in his circus? Nice recovery, Barney, but not fast enough. Says the Gemara, Ramiya. Zevel v'chol hadak kedei lezabel kelach shel kruv, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Now we've already seen, again, we've seen these, all the kashas that we had on the daf, the final use kashas, we've been through before, so we know what the answer is over here. You say that you need five Pachas Bikruveras, but when it comes to going out now and fertilizing, it says even a single stalk you could fertilize, so why in the world would you need five? And again, as Rav Papa said, because normally, just like we had by the Beit Sakala, so it's the amount of tavlin is Beit Sakala, the amount of fuel is Beit Sakala, and any usage is going to be the final use that you're going to have of it. So if you're telling me that fertilizer is enough for one kelah, large or smaller, but certainly not five separate kelachim, so why do you need five separate seeds? It should be one. Because just like the fertilizing is kosher for one, the planting is kosher for one. And again, explains Rav Papa, because people don't plant one thing. So there's a difference between if it's already Zarua, the same answer that we had, Lagavi, the dye stuff. If it's already Zarua, that's one thing. But in the case where you're taking out the Zraim, the Lozria, the Fishein Adam Torech, Lotzi Nimach HaGozria, people don't go out the whole schlepperai with the with the shovel, and they have to cover it, and people don't do that for less than a amount that's valuable. So maybe when it comes to pumpkin, two is valuable. Zera negina, five. Other things would be a little bit less than a grogeret. Zera kishuin, it's a ton rabban. Hamotzi garinim, imlinitia, shnaim garinim, are not what we call garinim, but are the garinim of the date, which were used for feed, mixing with feed, and it would keep the animal, you know, keep something in the mouth of the animal to chew on. So it's like piggy chewing gum. And and it was also used for fuel, as we saw before. So if you're taking out garinim, it depends what your purpose is in taking them out. Imlanitiya, you're taking it out for planting. Stein. Imla achila, if they're going to be eaten. Kemalei pi chazir. Vekama malei pi chazir. Achat, because it's piggy gum. How many pieces of piggy gum do you need? I mean, you can chew on this for hours. Imla asik, you're going to be using it. That doesn't mean that you're allowed to have a piggy. I mean, as Tosfos points out, this may be piggy gum, but it means you obviously you wrap it and put it in, then you sell it. You sell it to goyim, you know. What's that? Yisrael's not supposed to be Megadol Chazir. So, and if it's La'asik, Kedei Levashel Beitzah Kala, Im L'Cheshbon. Now, these were also great devices for using as computers. So, you had your portable abacus. So, you used your Netiyot, wherever you were. You didn't even have to take it along with you. You just picked a couple of, I mean, this is really good usage, very ecologically meaningful. You need a computer, you pick a couple of dates, then you eat them. And what's left over is your computer. So, yeah. Shtayim. Other people say, well, Shtayim, most people can count to two without.
Have you heard of using a binary system?
Obviously. The Shtayim is only for people who are using Boolean algebra. So they were stuck with Shtayim. But the people who were into digital stuff up till 10, they were going in the Chomech. You know, so we'd use this for counting to a base.
If I can't, if you use a computer long enough, you need two also, we can't do it alone.
That's right. Tanu Rabbanu, Hamotzei Shnei Nimi, Mizanav Asus, Mizanav HaParah Chayav, two threads from a horse tail, or from a cow tail, you're five. Why? Because those are chosher. Shematznir otan nishbin. It's great for making nets with, trapping nets. So it's very thin and strong. This is all really good survival techniques, gentlemen. You should remember this thing as well. You never know the way the world is going. Miksha shel chazir. If you have a bristle from a boar, Achat, one is sufficient, because you can use that as, it's very interesting usage, you remember the old sewing kits when you were a kid where you could make the picture, you know, you sew it, and all the top of it is the same as the thing you have on your shoelace. It's like a thread, but it's hard. But what they would do for that, they use bristle board for bristle as the beginning of the thread, and then you could just use it, you could thread it into something, right? So that a single bristle would be good for that. Surei dekel shtayim and turei dekel achas. You have the peeled branches. You'd use this for the basket weave, or the stuff that grows around the dekel. Even one, Rashi says he doesn't know what it's usable for. Tziporet akramim, which is a type of chaga, but as we saw in Chulin, a very particular type. Remember, we went through all the different meanings. There's the way that they look. We needed extra pasuk to be marble. Ein lo gabachat, yesh lo gabachat, ein lo gabachat. Tziporet akramim had these unusual characteristics. And the Mishnah says whether it's alive or dead, even a one is good. My tziporet akramim, says Rav, that's a palya biari. It's a big help. You can find these hanging out with the young palms that only have one layer of growth. You know, every year you get the extra layer. They have one layer of growth. And what do they use them for? Nobody has ever tried this out for Alzheimer's, but you never know. If you're not too bright, the Tziporet HaKromim can help you out. And here's what it does for you.
You mean that's a locust?
It's a type of locust. It's a very specific type. Ochalei lepalgei diyamine. Now you eat the right-hand side of the Tziporet HaKromim, leaving the left-hand side, which you then put into a cylinder that's made out of copper. The chotim lei b'shitin gushpankin, and you seal it up really good. All types of different seals. And then, talalei b'yivah the smaller, you let it hang off of your left shoulder. The simanecha, the way to remember what shoulder is leiv chacham limino, leiv ksil the smaller. And since you're an idiot, if you're doing this, you put it on your left shoulder. And then, v'chochim kama the boy. Now you get as smart as you want. Don't get too smart. Chochim kama the boy. You leave this on until you get as smart as you want. The Gomar comedy boy, and you learn as much as you want. Don't want to have too much learning there under your belt, you know. And then you eat the other half. Because if you don't eat the other half and you just lose it, you're going to lose everything you learn. Be alone, miyakar talmudah. You want to make sure that this is permanent learning. You know, awakening. Say, woke up for a little while and you went back to bed again. That was not a good idea. We want to make this a lasting intelligence.
So it's a stimulant and a preservative at the same time.
Sorry?
It's a stimulant and a preservative at the same time.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So maybe it's time to do a clinical trial of Tziporet HaKromim.
Well, the preservative would be
there. With an aging population, we should be getting some, make some good money.
Well, obviously, Chazal weren't writing comic books, so they meant something about that.
Who?
Chazal, when they wrote. So they weren't writing a comic book. So, I mean, no. We're all laughing, but...
We're not laughing. It's just very cute.
Where can we get them?
Where can we buy one? We should make ourselves a plantation of Chad Navaras. Reb Yudon. So, Reb Yudon says, I don't understand. What's the problem? I mean, if it's a Chag of Tame and it's alive, it's still good for Shlomi's traveling circus. So why does the Tana Kama not agree that a chag of tamei chai would also be considered to be valuable, even if it's a kosher? So Tanakama has several law. For some reason, the Tanakama doesn't like shreifa chagavim in Shlomi's traveling circus. Now, why is that? Dilma ochele, but we're afraid Shlomi's going to eat it. I mean, so if we're afraid Shlomi's going to eat it, why aren't we afraid that he's going to eat the kosher one also? Because if he eats the kosher one and doesn't prepare it properly, he just pops it into his mouth alive. That's like goldfish swallowing. And that's considered to be disgusting. So you're over on Baal T'Shachas. It's kosher. It's not nice.
And it's alive.
if it's alive. We know Rav Kahana was once sitting in front of Rav, and he was having a lot of fun because he was Kamaava Shushiba Apume. He had a little Shushiba, really cute little chagam, and he kept putting it over his lips, just for fun. Of course, it was moving. He wasn't intending to eat it, you know. So Rav told him, no, take it away. Chocolate. You're not going to think you're eating that. The ka'ava mishum baltishaktis nafshotechem. So apparently you're not supposed to eat a live chagav, from which the Rashba brings a rye here in Tosfos, that you see you don't have to shech the chagav. As if you needed shechita, you wouldn't be coming out to baltishaktis. We never discussed how to eat chagav. Do you have to shech them? Do they have to be roasted? We were waiting for Barnea's neighborhood. You can eat it raw, but not live. No, it's the same problem. It's baltishaktu. So what are we afraid of? That the cotton is going to eat it like that? So, okay. Rabbi Yehuda apparently isn't concerned, huh? Ella Dilma Ma'id V'Yachale. What's the problem? That it may be, then it'll die, you're saying. So you're afraid he's going to eat it now, that it's actually going to be treif. So then Rabbi Yehuda, why isn't he chayshish for that? Rabbi Yehuda says, what are you talking about? If he dies, the Kotan's going to make a funeral. He's going to say a hespin. He's going to eat his best friend, his star performer. What are you, crazy?
He'll bury it in the
So there's nothing to worry about. He might Kotan mispit sapitle. He's going to say a hespin. He's not going to eat it. So therefore, you have nothing to be chayshish for. We're not chayshish for achila chai. Fine. That explains why the Torah is good, even a libel rabbonim, for the shear of the Kotan. Mace, the Chachami figure. Okay, once he's dead already, you know, the game's over. Rav Yehuda says, the show must go on. Therefore, what he'll do is he'll be maspid. Hadron Allah, Omar Rabbi Akiva. Hamatznia lezera, for the dugma, for the ru'ah, votzio b'shabbat, chayav b'choshu. Somebody who sets aside a little bit. And then he goes, and he sets it aside for a particular purpose. So he sets aside, let's say, even one seed to be Zorea, or a tiny bit of tzeva for a color, or some little bit of a chemical for a refua. And then he's motzient, he would be chayev. Now, of course, this is very strange, because we had all the cases before where he was motzient without being motzient for a particular purpose. We didn't need a previous atzna'ah, and then a hotza'ah. So, the Gemara is going to ask this, what's the point of saying I'm a tzmiya?
What does he need a
tzmiya for? If your intent at the time of Hutzah was that, why would you need a separate hatznah? B'chol Adam, nonetheless, nobody else would be chayiv in this year. B'chol Adam in chayiv alav alak ishiuro. As a matter of fact, if you took it out for that purpose, right, and then you ended up not using it, let's say you had been matznia for zera, took it out, were not mazoreayit, and then you went ahead and brought it back in, you wouldn't be chayav on achmatzon, because since it's no longer usable, you no longer intend to use it in that year. So now you're mevato the atzno. So there, eino chayav ela kishiuro. You would only be chayav in the actual shiur. So lomalei lemitnei hamatznia. I understand, says the Gemara. You're calling a perek hamatznia, as if we need to have some pu'ula done in order to establish its value prior to the hotzah. This isn't a new category. We had tons of cases before. We just had on this daf. If you're taking it out for the tia, it's X. If you're taking it out for fuel, it's Y. What does hatznah have to do with it? Listen, all you have to write is Hamotzi, Lezera, Vladugma, Vlfua. If your intent is to use something that will be usable, such and such a shir, Chayav Bechoshu, Kandik. Omer Abaye, I'll tell you, it's clearly talking about a bit of question of taking out without an intent,
something which had been set aside with an intent. Now, unfortunately, we all know that this happens all the time, because you find yourself upstairs in the freezer room and you think, what the heck did I come up here for, right? This happens a whole time, a dozen times a day. What am I here for? So now the Shaila is, you were Matzniyah. You don't have the slightest idea why you were Matzniyah. You remember there must be something, some purpose in my life. That's what it's talking about. How come I ask you? Don't you eat Sneo? Vishakach, Lamatsneo. Now he doesn't know what he did. So I might have thought, so now Hashtagamatically stomach. He knows he was supposed to come up here for some reason with this, but he doesn't know what that reason was. You see, so maybe 30 years ago you would have laughed at this, but now, now you know. So Vahashtagamatically stomach. Now he's taking that stuff. You might think, look, I mean, come on, the guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's just doing something because it must mean something. What the Mishnah is teaching you is that the Hatzna'ah defines it, and until you figure out that you don't need it, you're not mevatel it. And what you're doing is doing stam. I must have been thinking something, and so you're not mevatel your original Hatzna'ah, and you'd be higher than that. It's a finish.
Hatzna'ah means that it has some value.
Yeah, that you defined it, not that it has some value. You defined a value to you that was valuable enough to set it aside.
And that's enough to remember.
You don't remember.
It's enough to remember that you set it aside.
No, I know it had some purpose. Hey, so we had on the same dot the cure for Alzheimer's and the guy who's affected.
I forgot it.
Good to know.
The cure came first. Good to know.